Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hello, my name is Mike, and today's show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. It's quite simply the best way to support this show. If you need it, Amazon has it, and you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon. Bookmark it, please.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hey, Donald Trump, I'd like to wish you a very, very, very happy trip down to the border today. That's right. Donald Trump is going down to the border.
La cucaracha.
Yeah.
Enough.
We're not talking about Donald Trump today. That's it. That's the only thing I'll say. Just wanted to get that out. I will tell you this. That not doing that is extremely difficult for me. I am obsessed. I am watching everything. I watched the Anderson Cooper interview in its entirety. I did not learn anything new. I watched it in totality.
Nice. For
it, because just like all Americans, we are fascinated by this man.
Of course.
This bloviating douche of a man. We are absolutely riveted. We cannot take our eyes off him. He is the ultimate political train wreck, and we love every single minute of it. And you know what? If it motivates other politicians to ask more, act more like a douchebag, I'm all for it. I think it's fantastic. I think bring it on. More free-for-alls, more horrible insults, more fast and loose with the facts. Could be fun. Now, when it comes time to govern, though, you know, the fun's over, kids. I just want to say this to the electorate. The fun is over, okay? I don't care. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican or independent.
The electorate.
Hey, electorate. Listen to me. When this little sideshow, this little carny is over, because there are 500 days, what, to the election, something like that.
That's right. So you may want to start making plans. You might need a babysitter to vote. And, you know,
when it comes time to, and I'm talking in the primaries and in the regular election, yeah, get the best qualified. Okay. That's when the party stops. When you go into the, tell the pollsters anything you want. That makes it fun, too.
Mike, these are just appetizers.
We
just want a good entree.
Yeah.
And we'll get an entree that governs. Our entree won't be
It's
bad.
Hopefully healthy.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this, that it's very difficult for me to do the show today because I am blinded by the receding hairline on top of Rofo's head.
The 10 doesn't have receding hairline.
No, what he has is he has a tight haircut. Rob, let me ask you just if you would, turn around so I can see the view Mike is getting. Oh, and take those headphones off. They're not fooling anybody.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
Premature male pattern balding.
What he's got there, Mike, it's called the SpeeWack spot.
Based on my family circle,
He's
right
losing
cue.
It okay. at a little faster pace than you did, Rob, I think, right? Mm-hmm. You held on to the belief that you were not losing your hair for much longer than you should
have. I lied to myself and I lied to the world because at that time I had a flat top and I was able to tell you the hair was so short on the top of a flat top. I said, that's not hair loss, that's just short hair. But
Oscar,
then there's short hair.
Oscar, are you familiar with how Rob Spiewak was... I mean, really publicly shamed
outed.
Into finally admitting that the hair on top was going away. I mean, if you're in, let me just say, if you're in denial about some physical attribute you have, if you're in denial and you think you're not losing your hair, the best way for people to point it out is to put it on a jumbotron in FedEx Field.
This is back in the day.
Wait, I want to finish.
Okay.
This is back in the day when Rob Spiewak was the on-field announcer.
I remember that.
Yes.
For your Washington Redskins.
Big Daddy Wilkinson!
They would have.
Right?
Oh, Mike, keep
it's
talking.
Somewhere. No, keep talking.
Keep talking, Mike. No need to go to the actuality. But I will tell you this, Oscar, is that, you know, the thing about the hair is that if you're a relatively tall guy like I am, or like
at defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson!
It was a particularly loud evening at the stadium.
That's got to be moved to like the top of the hit parade.
It was a Monday night game, Mike.
It was a little loud, wasn't it?
It was a little loud.
It was
at defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
So,
my favorite.
Just so we can get on the same page as a show, which of my shortcomings are we focusing on?
Well,
is it the announcing or the hair?
Whenever that comes up.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan.
So we can put that to bed. What it was. That was a Monday night, And it was a Dallas game. I believe it might have been maybe the opening Monday night of a football season. And that stadium was sold. And the thing is, you go to a Redskins game and it's early in the season and they haven't been statistically eliminated yet, that usually happens like November 1st. It's a great crowd because anything can happen. And it was literally so loud in the stadium, I could not hear myself. And it's a scary thing if you're announcing and you can't hear yourself. So you can't rely on the speakers because you're coming back a full second later.
Totally understand.
I pushed my voice way too hard. Lesson learned.
At defensive tackle, number 95, Big Daddy Dan Wilkinson.
What? Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
What does that have to do with the balding?
Well, I can tell you that as well.
Can I finish that story?
I wish you would. Yeah.
So Rob was, Rob knew the comedy value of it too. So we, you know, we were talking, and you know when your hairline is, changing.
Yeah.
But we talked about the fact that the camera would shoot you from the top of the stadium.
Exactly.
And it would shoot the back of your head. You would see the back of your bald head.
You see, as I said, as you know, like Rob Ford, we're both fairly tall guys. Not many people get a good aerial view of our head.
True.
So we can fake it. We can fake it, right?
Good call.
But you get 95,000 people and they're all sitting above you.
Yes.
And they've got a high definition camera shooting down upon you.
Mm-hmm.
You're really, it's like, you know, you can't, you just
got
to give up.
Is that when you said it's over?
It's over. That's right.
And the thing about, but both Rofo and Rob do what I have said for years based, and I hope you won't mind this, that I invoke the name of a DJ who went into commercial real estate years later and has sort of maintained a little bit of contact with me over the years, a guy named Dave DiNardo. And Dave DiNardo was
he's a good guy.
He was in his 20s, early 20s, I think, when he lost the hair. And he went to what I call the Bruce Willis, which Bruce Willis has owned his hair. Jason Statham is another one that has owned his hair loss, and they go to the close cropped. What the guys that don't get it do, a la Rand Paul, where you sit, they go through hoops to do the comb over and all that. If it's going, you accept it. And immediately get to the chrome dome look, shaved head look.
I had a come to Jesus because I grew my hair long for a while, and there was a picture of me. It was at my cousin Andy's wedding, and it was from the back, and my ass looked great, but I looked at my head, and I said,
nice.
I said, how can I have so much hair and yet have so little hair? Because it was down to my shoulders, and I wasn't fooling anybody. And
that was your last.
That was his last hurrah.
Yeah, that was the last ditch effort. And now when I shave my own head, as you know, using Harry's products, and
it's
a wonderful feeling because when I shave my head, I go from the front back and I feel resistance, 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 coasting, 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 resistance, resistance, resistance.
Well, you know, you've lost it early in life, and as I continue to lose mine,
we'll all get there eventually.
But the thing about it, when I'm where Rofo is with my hair, I'll be dead.
It'll keep growing.
and so will my fingernails.
Exactly. That's
and,
a myth.
And inside the casket, on a continuous loop, I will have this play.
At defensive tackle, number 95.
You keep playing it, you're going to need a casket.
It's the Michael Mara Show. You can listen to the Michael Mara Show at www.michaelmaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Michael Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Dad, there's no, real magic in the world, right?
What do you mean?
You know, elves and stuff. People just made that up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, what makes you think that elves are any more magical than something like a whale? You know what I mean? What if I told you a story about how underneath the ocean there was this giant sea mammal that used sonar and sang songs, and it was so big that its heart was the size of a car and you could crawl through the arteries. I mean, you'd think that's pretty magical, right?
Yeah. But, right this second, there's, no elves in the world, right?
No, technically no elves.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
We are coming to you live from the Cappy Fiverr Studio in the heart of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. This is the Mike O'Mara Show, on the air and online worldwide. The Mike O'Mara Show, a daily radio show and podcast with the greatest listeners on the planet because they get it. If you are here, you do too. Our show today brought to you by the aforementioned Harry's.
What's worse?
What is worse than running out of razors? You know what's worse? Paying top dollar at a drugstore for razors. Mm. But you don't have to worry about that anymore thanks to Harry's. Harry's takes the guesswork out of all your shaving. I had the best little shave with my Harry's razor today.
Nice.
I really did. I loved it. I love it every single day. And it's a client that joined us a while back, and we all use the product now. And they send blades direct to your door based on how often you shave. Here's what's even better. Harry's is giving new customers an additional $5 off their first monthly subscription order with the coupon code TMOS. TMOS, you know it, you love it. The Harry's Shave Plan ships high-quality razors straight to your door for as little as $3 a month, and deliveries are customized to your shaving routine so you never run out of blades. Plus, if you suddenly want to grow a beard, it's all good. You can modify or cancel your plan at any time. Harry's has such confidence in their German-engineered blades, there is a 100% satisfaction guarantee, and your first shave plan order includes a free handle. How great is that?
The best.
Or as Ina Garten would say, how great is that? What does she shave with?
Oh.
Anyway, start your Harry's monthly subscription and never worry about buying blades again. Never. As a special offer for new customers, get your free razors and save $5 off your first subscription with the code TMOS at checkout. That's harrys.com and the code TMOS, and start shaving better today. Well, hail, hail, the gang's all here. Happy Thursday, everybody, and welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. Before we go any further, I'd like to send out a thank you to all of you that are buying copies of Open Mike, the audiobook. We
yes.
are very, very happy with that. Please continue to share that with your friends. Pass that along. And the platforms are all up and running where you can get this. You
yes.
can get it on our website, MikeO'MaraShow.com. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it on Google Play.
Yeah.
And we are very, very proud of it. And we'd love you to go out and grab it as well. So last night, because I went on iTunes and I saw that under Spoken Word, we were number one.
Number one, baby. Which, number one. With a bullet.
I was going to take a shot of it and put it up online, but then I realized, no, I'm not messing with all the screw-ups that our crew engaged in with iTunes before the launch.
Right.
I didn't want to mess anything up, so I just
don't
enjoyed
get happy,
it.
Mike.
And I DGH, that is absolutely
true. Did you
true.
Think that if you Control-Shift-4 and took a screenshot, you would mess up iTunes?
Is that what I would do? Control shift.
Isn't that what it is?
No, it's Control Shift 3.
No, that's if you. But Control Shift
screenshot.
Four, that's a whole screenshot. If you do Control Shift 4,
you can pick.
You can do. You
that's
know,
fair.
Pick your
yes.
size. Yeah.
You can do four. I think
now, normally I just hold down my little thing and I make it all blue and then I hit Command C. That's
well, this
what
is,
I do.
This is the problem. Once
about
you
that.
Got,
I was pretty savvy with that. What are you talking about? What I hold down my little mouse.
What are you laughing at?
Do you copy it and then paste it into a Word document? What do you do?
He makes the whole thing blue, is what he does.
No. The thing is, I highlight it. I highlight the text that I want to copy, and then I will. The way I get content to the show is I either do that and put my own Word document on and print it up, or I will simply bookmark a page.
But copying text is different than taking a screenshot, you see.
I know. And well, the thing is, though, I wanted to copy the at first I wanted to copy the number one with all the other books that were there for Spoken Word. And it's a weird category, so I didn't bother doing it anyway. But I couldn't do that.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do to actually take a screenshot. And,
Mike,
so
you know what's important is that we're number one.
It
That's
is.
The most important thing. That's the most
second
important
day.
Thing.
This is the second day in a row that I've been talking about my technical savvy. I don't know anything.
You're
about
on top of it.
I live and die by computers and the internet. I should know more. I'm
and
trying.
You're on life support.
I'm trying. I'm trying. I am
now, to be fair, when we started this endeavor, you did not know copy and paste.
No, and it's,
now you're a copy and paste fiend.
I like a copy and face or copy,
copy
and paste?
Copy and paste.
You almost
Mike.
Had it.
Yeah.
copy and face.
That's what it is. That's what you're trying to do.
That's Control F grease is what that is.
I actually would be willing to read you the very first paragraph in my new effort.
Wait, a new effort?
What's this?
Yes, my new book that'll be coming out maybe sometime before Christmas.
Oh, look this.
So you've got the bug. You've done
I've
a
got
bug?
The, and... I've got the bug. No, I just said, you know, so many comedians write books. Yes. We had an add-on for
Aziz Ansari.
Aziz Ansari, yeah. And he's got a hysterical book that's out there. And I'm not as funny or as talented as Patton or Aziz or anything. But you know what? I've got a lot of
opinions.
You're
creative enough.
Another thing motivated me.
Yeah.
There is a man running for president right now, and I would like to think that I've got a slightly bigger vocabulary than he does.
Oh, Mr.
So
Trump?
I said, yeah, and he wrote The Art of the Deal, and look, yes. He's making tons of money on it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I said, maybe I can give this a shot. So I, last night, sitting on my my little front porch, took pen to paper and
that's wonderful.
And wrote the first paragraph in Hating by Mike O'Mara.
Hating. H-A-T-I-N-G. Yes. The art. Yeah. Mike, what if you really were inspired by Trump, why not go all the way and call it The Art of the Hate?
The Art of Hating.
Or eight, the number eight.
H and number eight?
Yes.
Yeah, that's very hip.
Yeah, hashtag hating.
No, the Art of Hating would mean I was trying to teach people how to hate, and that's far from it. I just want to talk about hating.
Yes.
Okay.
Because, could I share it?
Please.
I mean, I'm kind of motivated.
They say that the first paragraph, it'll set the table, and this will probably determine whether or not it's a success. Yes.
Hating. By Mike O'Mara.
Yes.
I should start out by letting everyone know that I'm a hater. I've even been referred to in certain social circles as the hater, but that was some time ago. I got the nickname by throwing CDs off a boat when I was a little tipsy and I didn't care for the choice of music that the other guests on board were enjoying. You like it so far,
right?
Have
you ever told that story?
Yeah.
I don't recall that story.
I'll tell it after I read the paragraph.
Very good.
Right?
You know what? That'll be a great footnote.
If this book was about all the things that I hate, it would not only be incredibly tedious. Hold on, I'm going to enlarge my text.
Oh, I think
so that
be nice.
I can read it. Thank you very much.
Don't you hate small text?
And do you have any music to go along with this?
Yes, I believe I have some that'll work.
I'll
right
start
nice.
At the beginning.
Please,
all right,
please.
Very good.
Hating by Mike O'Mara. I should start out by letting everyone know that I am a hater. I've been referred to in certain social circles as the hater, but that was a long time ago. I got the nickname by throwing CDs off a boat when I was a little tipsy, and I didn't care for the choice of music that the other guests on board were enjoying. If this book was about all the things that I hate, it would not only be incredibly tedious, but I don't think I would have any redeeming qualities. I can't read my own writing. It really sucks. I
mean, you know, Mark Twain was the same way, Mike. It's not a big deal.
It's tough.
If this book was all about all the things that I hate, it would not only be incredibly tedious, but I don't think it would have any redeeming qualities, and I would end up hating myself for writing it. And I would really hate that. Instead, I wanted to write a book about hating. Why we hate, what causes us to hate, why we hate now more than we used to, who's responsible for all this hate, and is there any chance in the world that we can hate less tomorrow than we do today? There will be some of you that might get a bit bent out of shape when you read this, and there are some of you, hopefully, that will understand what I'm trying to get at. The fact is that even though I can hate with the best of them, I'm really tired of the hate that surrounds all of us. Race, politics, gender, age, socioeconomic, there are so many factors that play into our disdain for one another that it feels overwhelming. And I thought that by a totally unscientific examination of why we hate so much, that I might somehow come up with some of my own answers and in turn pass that along to you, the reader. In the end, I don't expect this book to change things. I just felt like it was something I wanted to talk about, to think about, and to maybe do something about. Come along for the ride, and let's see what happens. There it is.
Mike, I think you've got a great premise.
It's wonderful.
Thank you, Editor-in-Chief.
And I think it is. And I think what's great is that you're going on a journey. And you're going, you don't know what you're going to find yet, but you're going to examine it. And I think that'll be an exciting ride.
You could take the readers through the maybe a history of hate. And you could highlight prolific haters in history.
I don't want it to be
John Wilkes Booth.
He hated Lincoln.
Yeah, he definitely hated Lincoln.
But I'm not sure I want to look at the KKK and all that.
No, individual.
Hey, you know what? Yes. You know what? Sometimes between chapters, they have artist spotlight. You could do, like, you know, at the end of chapter 3, artist spotlight, Adolf Hitler. This Adolf is Hitler. A guy who hated things.
Yes.
And you know what? Not just passively. He right. got mad and did stuff.
Is there a thing, yeah. Is there such a thing as too much hate?
There is.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, yes. Yes. Okay.
Would it be safe to say that in our society today that we seem to have quite a bit of hate going, more than it seems, at least in my adult life, I've never seen hate like we have hate now. We hate each other politically. We hate each other racially. We hate each other religiously. We hate each other socioeconomically. And it just seems like everywhere you turn. You know what? One of the things that actually kicked it over the top, I don't know if Rob will have it in the audio vault today. Mm. There's a clip of this another lady, unlike our friend Britt McHenry, who was at a parking lot kiosk and paying a bill. And apparently there was some sort of discrepancy there. And she goes off on this guy.
Wow.
Calls him a piece of S, a piece of S, a piece of S. And I just went, look at that. Look at that. You know, this is just one more thing that went wrong.
Yeah,
and,
but if they only take cash, Mike, it's 2015.
Exactly. That's true.
You know, it doesn't make sense to
me. I'm not defending the lady, you know. The thing about it is, and that kind of kicked me over the top, and it's just, we probably, the only reason we don't have more road rage is because people have a strong self-preservation instinct.
Also, you know, it's been very hot, and no one wants to get out of their car.
I think.
Did you see the viral video? There have been so many viral videos in the past week. Did you see the viral video where the bald guy that looks like Mr. Clean jumps out of his SUV or his truck or whatever, and he punches the motorcyclist?
And then they take him down. Yeah.
And then they take him down.
Then it becomes an international meme. It was awesome.
Yeah, and that's the
thing.
And
he's looking, and he is on the ground. He is subdued. But you look at his eyes, and he's literally going,
yeah, Schmeagle.
Do you think, and this is because the motorcycle, now I didn't like what the motorcycle did.
Right.
He split lanes. Now, I don't believe in splitting lanes on a motorcycle.
What does that mean? Done it.
You split lanes, you have a motorcycle and you go between traffic
okay. In
the lanes.
I imagine it would be something like that.
It's
yeah.
a dickish move and never should be done on a
do
motorcycle.
Do you think the reason, and this can be something you can explore in the book, do we hate more now because there is a bigger audience for hate? For example, if there is an encounter between a motorcyclist and a car guy 20 years ago, it happens and it's done, right?
Yeah.
But now it's captured on a phone, it's put on the internet, and there's an audience
that's
for
fair.
It.
That's fair. And Mike, I think that, you know, to be fair to you, yes, it seems like there's more of it out there. I would say that we're exposed, we're exposed to it. We're just exposed to it more. And
yeah.
It also has a lot to say of what people are into.
Yep.
I ran to that video with the motorcyclist and the driver.
So did I.
I ran to
so
it,
did
right?
I.
And
I
ran as we all ran to that video of the women fighting in Walmart.
I run to Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And here's another thing that we've been seeing recently. You will see, and I'm not a fan of this. I bitched about the Walmart fight as well. There was another viral video. You know, we get hundreds of them a day. That's how we get our information.
Yep, you're
that's
right.
What we do. The young lady trying to break the car window.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where there was the baby inside. And like three able-bodied, strong men, much stronger than this woman, standing around watching, observing,
yes.
as opposed to, and maybe the same person that was taking the video.
And as you say, someone who has gone to the trouble to videotape it.
Wow.
Not just not helping, but doing something that is actually not helping.
So true.
And I'm watching this, and there appears to be this woman, maybe 125 pounds, who is trying desperately to break this window. And the guys are just going, huh? What?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we do run to that. We love that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is a great example of it. I think that the fact that he insults people on a regular basis, that we love that kind it's what we do.
There's going to be a hangover when he's gone because once he's gone, it's like, oh, I miss that crazy F.
There's
you know?
Probably, you know, when you and your hangover will manifest itself in that there ain't going to be anybody paying attention.
No,
right. One's going to pay attention when he's done. But I think
it's a nice malaise.
I'm counting on that ego
and lots of cankles.
I'm counting of the ego with that third party run.
What if
I'm glad that he's going to run as an independent? I think he got a taste of this now, and that
he wants
diluted,
it blood in the water.
That diluted orangutan. He is going to run the. He's going to go the whole day.
What if when he's out of the Republican scenario? What if Lindsey Graham says I'm going to be the hateful guy, but he still talks the same way? He said, you know what I don't like? I don't like the Chinese.
He's the most polite politician.
I would like to say to the Chinese, go away, Chinese.
Bill Maher Bill Maher, who sometimes I love, sometimes I hate. Bill Maher does the best take on Lindsey Graham of anybody, just with like his partner of 25 years, and how, you know, it's just like, you know, Tree Nuts. I'm very excited. I'm very excited about the Tree. You know what? Of all the guys in the race, I kind of like Lindsey Graham as much as I've not liked what his politics have stood for. It's fun to watch. Oscar is so right about the hangover we're gonna have.
Oh right.
Let's enjoy the
hot chick while she's around.
Don't call him a hot chick.
They won't last forever.
He gives me acid reflux. You call him a hot chick.
They never do.
Ew.
They're too crazy.
Well, all right. Well, I will take a break, and then when we come back, I will tell you the story of Rob. You're going to have to assist me with this.
Alrighty.
I want you to get the your impression of music that I might not really care for on a boat.
Okay.
And music that I like, and if we can maybe go between them.
I think we can probably make that work.
I was sitting on my form, and speaking of hating, my former friend, who I now hate.
Oh, wow,
anyway,
at that.
Yeah, there it is again. Hate surfacing on the Mike O'Mara show again. Well, I'll tell you the story about me getting the nickname The Hater when we come back on the Mike O'Mara show.
It's Tony and Gary.
Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, hello, I'm Tony Perkins.
Hello, I'm Edward R. Murrow.
You just go further and further back. On this week's episode of The Show with Gary Stein, Gary faces a dilemma when it comes to a holiday barbecue.
Help me out.
Also, I'm going to tell you about some brand new music that I think you will love.
Can't wait.
Yeah, and they're not dead people, Gary.
Oh, well, then I can wait.
No. It's The Tony Perkins Show. Subscribe on iTunes and listen on the brand new Tony Perkins Show app.
The Tony Perkins Show.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're just about, as a matter of fact, talking about it last night, about my son when we get back down south, making the transition out of his crib, and got a little bar that you have to take down where it turns into a bed. And,
right.
I want to talk today about Sleep Number and the fact that Sleep Number is now helping your kids get a better night's sleep, too. Introducing the Sleep Number IQ, the Sleep IQ Kids Bed. Now, this is the first bed that lets you know how your child is sleeping, and it's designed to adjust to them as they grow. Your kids' sleep is more important than you know. Studies show that well-rested kids feel more confident. They do better in school, in sports, and in life. With the Sleep IQ Kids Bed, you know the quality and quantity of your child's sleep, and you'll know what adjustments to make so they can sleep even better. It will tell you when your kids are asleep, when they're awake,
so cool.
And it even checks for monsters under the bed. The Sleep IQ Kids Bed does everything. Just in time for back to school, the Sleep IQ Kids Bed is the ultimate school supply, and there's only one place you can find it. That's at a Sleep Number store. Come in and see all the latest Sleep Number innovations to help your whole family sleep their best. Tonight, bedtime, tomorrow the world. Discover the Sleep IQ Kids Bed at any one of the 475 Sleep Number stores nationwide. You can find one near you by calling 800-511-0061. And be sure to raise your eyebrows and tell them that Mike O'Mara sent you. When they do that, would they go, Mike O'Mara sent me?
Yeah, or you know what? If you really want to get advanced, wiggle your eyebrows. Do the Groucho thing.
No, it wouldn't be Groucho, Rob. It would be Kip from Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, okay, so a little awkward.
It would be Kip when he kicks off his little canvas shoe and he is stroking LaFonda's exposed toes under the picnic table shortly after LaFonda arrives on the bus from Detroit.
I think we're all on the same page there.
Don't want to say that I watched that over the weekend, but I watched that over the weekend.
Oh, man. It's like, it's like a default movie in my house. If the kids can't agree on anything, they will always say, all right, Napoleon Dynamite. And it just ends
by the
up
way, done and done.
Yeah.
If you're watching Napoleon Dynamite, remember, after the credits are over, wait for the wedding scene afterwards, because it's really, really well worth it. Just to see that minister, who was also the farmer at the chicken ranch, who goes, gonna have to pay you in change. That is that movie, and Carla hates me for loving it, and says, how can you sit there and watch that movie again? But you know, so many beautiful moments. I love it when Pedro's head gets hot. That's fun to watch.
And I really, you know, it's never been satisfactorily explained to me why his head got hot. Someday my head just goes, ah. And then it's just, it's so weird.
It
weird,
may
right?
have happened, since this is fresh in my mind, it may have happened in the hallway when Napoleon and Pedro are watching Summer Sanders hand out campaign buttons.
How do you now, know I think, so much about this movie?
I think
it's
that
awesome.
There are, I think there are two moments, perhaps, where Napoleon interacts with Summer's campaign manager, who's also her crew-cutter
yes.
boyfriend, the
yes.
blonde guy, that opens his mouth a lot and just goes... But then you also, when he throws the campaign button, it's like when he takes it from whatever his name is, he throws it down the hallway, and then you get the classic Napoleon arms at the side run when he runs up the stairwell.
The best. I love that.
Best run.
To
I love
avoid
that.
But it's a yeah, beautiful film if you haven't gotten a chance to see it. All right, Rob, I want you to go back to 2003.
All right.
You know, for my music, of course, you can go back to the 70s, because
right.
I've enjoyed music from that era, and that's kind of my you know, my formative music that I grew up listening to. But 2003, there was a lot of music out there, and you know, I have no idea what years these songs would be, because they could be from any year as well. But I'm on my buddy's boat,
right?
And one of the things that they were doing, this was probably there was a culture clash as far as music was concerned.
Sure.
And I should go on record before I start this discussion by saying I'm a tremendous fan of rhythm and blues. I truly enjoy you know, I could list African American artists
of course
a mile long.
Is that what R&B stands for?
Rhythm and blues.
So.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
rhythm
I've never heard
blues.
Anyone really call it that.
Well, that's sort of
it's what it is.
The phrase goes back to 1950 okay. and it was used to replace the term that was used before that,
yes.
which was race right. records.
Ah.
And that was for
Is that what it was called before?
Eventually, yeah, you know, what are you going to play some of them
gonna,
race records?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was thought to be insensitive.
It should
driving.
Are those fun facts you dropped to your friends?
Fun no, my friends tell me.
I'm jotting it down
at the meetings.
I'm jotting it down and putting it in my hate book. All right. So anyway, so I was on this boat, and I just got tired of a certain type of music.
Right.
And they had a CD player
yes.
on this boat. It was a big cruiser that a friend of mine had, and he used to, you know, just stock it with all of his pals, and we'd go down to Tim's River Shore, and we would
sure.
Hop on the boat and do. It's kind of a bummer talking about this because I don't talk to the guy anymore.
Well,
but
you know, I'm sure
him.
It
you
makes I'm
was.
Sure it makes him sad as well, Mike.
Yeah, right. Whatever. But anyway, you know, so they're playing this music, and you know, it would happen every time, and I would say, "Well, here's a CD. I want you to put on some U2. You know,
right?
that's what I want to listen to.
On a
you
boat?
Know, put it,
yeah." Sure.
I'm talking about 2003, okay? Over 10 years ago. Thank you very much.
That doesn't
much,
scream,
you know?
Let's party, take your top off.
Well, I wasn't all about that. I'm a dignified man, and I
yes.
just want to hear some lovely water music. You know? So, Rob,
yeah.
You know, it would really help this bit if you
know,
would play anything
there,
give
on me
your
a
goddamn
okay.
screen.
Okay, give me a second. So you're right. on there, and what you want is something, say, like this, right? Okay. You want... taking its time today. You're hoping for something like this, right? Some rock
well,
and roll.
Yeah, it's not that old Aerosmith, but I would, you know, if I'm sitting there having like a
this would
a nice
be fine.
Cold frost.
This
yeah,
would be
yeah.
fine.
Right. Say, hey, man, nice day. It's going to be 85 today. All right. Let's go down do a little party on Saturday afternoon
yeah.
on the water. It's a lot of fun. Fantastic. So, yeah, that would be an example
yes.
of something that I truly would enjoy.
Yeah.
Right.
And then there were younger people on the boat that, and even the older people. The people I took issue with were the people that were not being honest about their musical tastes, and they were kind of going with the flow for the reasons Oscar stated, to have
right.
the tops come off
yes.
or something like that. You know, it was also the time that I sat on the front of this boat where there was a...
Oh,
know,
here
that,
we go.
No,
this is it.
Yeah, but no, you have to go further. You have to go deeper into it.
Really?
You have to go, yeah, you have to go really hardcore. Oscar might be able to help you.
Yeah.
Because
early
2000s,
some Tupac.
Tupac, let's
yes.
see, okay.
That's
Tupac would be fresh.
Yeah. That's
Notorious,
really
Notorious B.I.G. Biggie.
Yeah, that's,
oh,
that's
they weren't friends.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Yeah.
It.
Yes. This is it. My shirt off or shirt on the boat? What do you have? A button down? I'm trying to picture
No,
this.
I don't have a button down on the boat. Thank you very much. Got a t-shirt on. Got some sensible. I've got some sensible man shorts.
Something with collar stays. Yeah.
And so, but it was more hardcore. You don't have any hardcore stuff,
dude. Mike, it might shock you. I don't really. I don't have
more
a lot
hardcore
of,
than this.
Well, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah. What band are you looking for?
I want to hear that B.I.G. sound.
Do you have any band there?
I want to hear. I want to hear the sound that we're talking about here.
The sound.
All right, hold on,
but you said it's R&B, 2000. That's my wheelhouse.
Could it be this?
Oh, yes.
No.
Keep
no.
this going.
No, it's too rhythmic. It's too. It's actually. Hold on, I got my own.
Oh, okay. You got it. This is not hip hop or
no.
R&B.
All right, hold on.
Is that your old website? Oh.
Oh. Okay.
I got it. I got it.
No,
so,
that's not it. That
are you looking true. For like OPP?
You know what? You know how we're not going to be able to do this bit. We don't. We OPP yet, but no.
Yeah.
See, all of your rap music is rap music I enjoy.
Yeah.
All of your rap
well, these
music
are all
is
hits.
Soft yeah. white style rap
white
music.
Style.
You have that's what you have. You have you are playing rap music for the white devil. That is what you are playing.
What about N.W.A.?
Yeah,
is that what you're looking for?
That well, there was stuff. It was just very intense.
Yes,
and very very much. I did not necessarily pay attention to the lyrics, but it was just a sound that that was going on with this. And,
yeah, N.W.A.
And now,
I think. Would
and
be
now
as,
because we're struggling
as
with this so
possible.
Much, I feel as though that I'm asking the whitest man in the United States. To help me find music that I was saying was just a,
well,
you know.
Well, Mike, anything that they won't play at Jimmy's, Rob yes. doesn't have, so.
That's true.
To be fair to Rob, right. that's what he has.
Enough with the music. We're not going to, this is not going to be successful.
All right.
So,
which artist were you looking for, do you think?
Don't have no idea.
Okay.
But the point is that there were certain songs that would come on that I would not like, and as the afternoon progressed, the battle became more pitched, where I would get into this CD player and then say, Mike, stop it. What are you playing the Rolling Stones for?
Aww.
No. Then they'd rip the Rolling Stones out, and then they'd play something else that I didn't know. And and then I would rip that out. And then finally, the battle commenced all afternoon when the boat was docked. And then on the way back, we were coming into the harbor for the evening. But the
yes.
evening was not necessarily going to end.
No, you were just changing locations.
Yes, we were simply changing. But as we were going slowly... I began to grab some of these CDs, and I was looking at them, and I began to flick them off the boat like they were Frisbees.
Oh,
you know,
no.
that had to feel
into the water.
That had to feel very satisfying because of the construction and the roundness of a CD. Mm-hmm. You could probably almost skip it like a stone.
But in 2000,
I was bigger than life.
If you had a CD, that was like that was. At least for me, that was something
yes.
you cherished. You
yeah.
kept, if you scratched them, you'd
this
be
might have been
03. Devastated.
This was 03.
Still 03.
Yes,
the 03. iPod
they
wasn't
still,
out yet.
Right.
Yes, the 03, and I'm sort of flicking these. And hey, what are you doing? Wait, I probably got two. Thrown
40
away,
bucks
and
right
that,
there.
And
what
and
I
my
can
arm
guess.
Was grabbed, and the laughter. Because now the reason I did the second one is yes. because with the first one, there was a contingent on the boat that was doubled over laughing.
And had you
because,
had,
you know,
had you
that's
had
a rather
beer
dramatic
or two?
Moment. Pardon me?
Had you had a beer or two at this point?
Oh, I may have had three.
Because I can imagine while you're throwing yeah. these rap CDs, you're this is what's playing.
No, nobody rich. I didn't bring anybody rich.
No. Oh, no.
Nobody rich. It was all rock and roll. But
okay.
And I like it.
Sure.
So I'm throwing these, maybe two CDs, and then they laugh. And they're like, hey, stop it. Stop it. What are you
come
doing?
On, cut
and
it
a couple out. Of people are just cracking up at this, and that's how it ended. But then somewhere after that, I got the name The Hater. The hater, you know, because because when you're throwing somebody else's music away, that person thinks you hate everything. No, I don't hate everything. I just hated everything you were playing. That's what it was.
We went to college with a guy, and I won't reveal his last name, but we'll call him David B. And
yes.
we hated his taste in music because he was into early 90s top 40, like your Rick Astley era top
yeah.
40. And we used to do the most horrible things to this guy, whose celebrity he most resembled was Barney Rubble. So yes. What we would do is we would go into his room and find his cassettes, store-bought cassettes, because they were still valid at that point. We'd put a piece of tape over the tab so you couldn't record over them. And right in the middle of the hit single, we'd record, "Why are you listening to this? This sucks."
That is creative.
And then we'd take the tape off and put it back. And then David would say, "Well, did you guys do this?" I said, nope, not us. Sounds like you.
You know what? And Rob, you're a big-time hater. You've been doing it for a very long time. But you know what? I believe in all people coming together. And this was just a moment that I did. I was never really, really proud of and kind of stuck that nickname. Yeah. Hey, is the hater coming on the boat today?
Yeah,
he might be coming down and coming on the boat. And that was it.
Was this the same boat that you shattered its windshield on?
Yes. Oh, okay.
It was a porthole. Was there like a window?
And, you know, that was a time when there was a hatch to the
the
bow of the boat that was open, and it would open between the windshield and then flip down and just rest on the bow of the boat.
Yes.
And I remember, if I can paint the really attractive picture, you've got a man in his 40s who is crawling onto the bow of this boat with women in their 20s. He has a cigarette going. And by the way, did not meet my, if anybody's going to speculate, this is not where I met Mrs. O'Mara. This is not how that went down at all.
Now it was a school day. She was still in class.
She was still in middle school. And I crawl out, and I'm sitting really trying to be cool and talk to these women. And suddenly it was, oh, my God.
Oh,
that's
no
good. I
look
back, and I have sat on the open hatch and popped out the glass that was on the tempered glass that was on there. And everyone stops. The conversation stops. The boat is underway.
What row?
Jesus, what did I do? And I was so embarrassed that I was trying to gather the shards of glass, and it was at that moment that I opened a vein on my finger.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So now I am bleeding all over the white fiberglass bow of this boat. And much hilarity.
That's when you gotta throw yourself off.
Yeah. Because there's nothing better than for an open cut than river water.
And they were good times, you know? Good times. Unfortunately, don't see any of those people anymore.
Oh, well. It's their loss, kind of, Mike.
It certainly is, Rob. Thank you very much. Sorry I wasn't able to explain the musical taste.
What do you
a little
play
bit
on
better.
Kathy's boat?
Let me see. I probably, we don't have any radio on that boat. It's basically a small boat.
Would you like us to send up a transistor radio or something?
I play the stressed out brother. That's what I play. We'll take a break. Come back with more fun and more thrills on the Mike O'Mara Show. See, I like this.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, I don't know. Anyway, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Summer is here. It's time for sun and fun, but it's also time to deal with a very hot home. You guys are going to be getting it again. We're going to be getting it up here. Another heat wave. We're at that time of year. The dog days are upon us, and you're going to have a hot house if you don't deal with it, and you can deal with it with Blinds.com. They're there to help you beat the summer heat with cellular shades, solar shades, even exterior shades. Your house will stay cooler. Your electric bill will drop. You'll be more comfortable, and that's what it's all about, being more comfortable, people. Blinds.com has been helping folks for over 25 years. They have incredible design consultants. I dealt with them myself when I put plantation shutters up in my home in Florida, and I also had cellular shades go into my bedroom down there as well. Cellular shades for me, not only are they incredibly lightweight, but they are really, really terrific in keeping the heat out and keeping your house cooler.
Right.
That's important. I know this because I'm a part-time Floridian. Call Blinds.com. You'll talk to a real person with real advice. They're incredibly kind because a lot of people, when they're doing household projects, you're a little insecure. You're a little unsure what you want to do. They're great at Blinds.com. The SureFit guarantee, if you measure wrong, they'll make it right. They'll make your product, and they'll remake it for free, even if it's your mistake. Go to Blinds.com today. Start enjoying your home and patio without the annoying heat and glare. You'll see easy in a whole new light with Blinds.com, as seen in my own home. So thank you very much. So,
cool.
Yeah, that little trip down memory lane, kind of weird telling stories that involve people that I really don't hang around with.
It's okay.
And it must
we
seem,
all have people like that,
It must
Mike.
Seem
we
like a million years ago, too, because it's such such a different life for you.
Do you guys plan when you go to the grocery store? I know that Rob does the grocery shopping. I don't even know if you, Oscar. No,
the women in my life do the grocery shopping.
The women in your life do the
same in my house.
Shannon and your mother. That's,
either or, depending on where I am.
Pet peeve. This is, I think when it comes to grocery shopping, going to the grocery store, the most important thing. There are a few things in life that you really have to go crazy planning. Probably a vacation.
Sure.
Probably, you know, some people.
A wedding.
Some people do a career path. You know, the planners tend to be ahead of the curve. But really, with the simplicity of our life nowadays, it's not all that important to do all that much planning. But a trip to the grocery store is something where planning is important. So I'm just curious, when you go, Rob, do you have a shopping list?
I have a running list in my head, but what'll happen?
You do it in your head, though. You don't have a list in your hand.
Carrie often texts me a list of stuff that's very important that we have. And you know
that's
what?
Planning.
In the day of texting.
Pushing you around every day.
Yeah, sure she does. She says, jeez. You still work with that that jerk, Oscar? I said, yeah, I do. LOL. OMG.
Here's the list.
But, you know, and that, you know.
He has it in his head.
Okay. Yes.
As a rule, the head.
Fruit Loops.
Head.
Marshmallow fluff. Tater tots. Land O'Lakes butter. Land O'Lakes whipped cream.
Well, the whole Land O'Lakes product line.
Smucker's strawberry preserves. Eggo waffles. Hot dogs. Hot dog rolls. Mustard and relish and ketchup for hot dogs.
Oh, you don't forget chili head.
Chili, Cornell canned chili to go on the hot dog. Ragu spaghetti sauce, spaghetti pasta. I'm sorry.
Well, it's all because that's what the kids like, Mike.
Sorry. Yeah, the kids like it. Yeah. The staples, we got back from the grocery store up here, the Hannaford. We're up at the Hannaford.
It's a great grocery store.
We get back from the Hannaford, and Mrs. O'Meara, we were getting staples. We ran out of stuff with Carla's mom here. We were running around and doing things we normally don't do, eggs, milk for the baby, and bread. And we get there, and we got back from the Hannaford, and I look over, and I go, and there are three pieces of bread left. And I look over and said, did we get bread? And we didn't get bread because we are not good planners when we do our grocery shopping.
You know what you should
get? We kind of wing it every day, and I get tired of that. I don't like that. I want to get supplies, and I want to plan for it, and I want to do a better job.
And actually, it's more important than ever for you because you're 35, 45 minutes from a grocery store. So if you want to just go out and get, if you just want to go out and get bread, it's an investment. There are apps, and there's one, and it has something to do with the word pie, I remember, where you and Carla can link your phones, and anytime you need something, you jot it down or hit the button.
But there's a weak link here. It's Mike. He leaves his phone everywhere.
Yes, but if he is able
I
to
still,
say,
by the way, I'm
going to
get that
bread.
Computer and that zip up to you.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That would be
I'm
great. Appreciate
that. He strapped it to a burro, and the burro was last seen in Portland, Maine.
By the way, it is out of the garage. It is in the closet, and the computer and the computer and the other piece of equipment have been put together. We have purchased bubble wrap to make sure that that it travels well, and all I have to do now is find the address that you gave me the other day where I wrote it down.
I can text it to you again today. No problem.
I might have thrown it away.
It's okay.
Coming. It's coming. Might. You know it's
but
coming.
But it's in the closet?
It's coming. What?
It's in the closet right now?
It's in the downstairs closet.
That's sort of an out of sight, out of mind situation. Yeah. What you might want to do is put it on a table where you see it.
Then you stare at it.
Yeah, say, what's this?
Don't go crazy.
What's all this then? Thank you. But I understand you're saying that's a weak link, but if Carla is able to...
She's a taskmaster.
Yeah, and if she sees that Mike has indicated they need bread, then the bread will be acquired.
There you go.
It generates a shopping list for it. It's a shopping app.
Or, Mike, does your wife still listen to the program?
Yes, occasionally.
So are you saying that the very fact that he's mentioning they need bread today,
I mean,
this is like a 79-minute audio shopping list?
Every Thursday, we could have a little segment.
What do you need?
And Mike can convey to Carla what we need in the home. And when she listens, this will help her with the process, right? Then we kill two birds with one stone. And we get to see what a celebrity eats on a weekly basis.
I love it.
I'm going to see if she...
We've got a theme song for the bed.
Yes.
Now it's time for What You Need. It's Mike O'Meara's pantry visit.
Hey, everybody.
It's What You Need.
How you doing?
What do we
texting
need?
Mrs.
What
O'Meara,
do we need this week, like Mike? What
do we
need?
Need
to pick up?
You need ripe bananas. You need eggs.
Oh, by the way, and look, I am an organic person. I truly am. I like
having
organic.
And this show is very organic as well.
I okay. She's not here, so don't.
Hey.
Well, don't worry about her right now. Worry about what you need.
Yeah, the song is called What You Need.
What You Need.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he's not. I think he's trying to connect with Carlos. So let's remind him what we just went through.
Okay. Well, right?
I'm sorry. What were you
every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
You're going to record a remote segment where you go through your refrigerator and pantry and make a list on the podcast of what you need.
Yeah. All right. And then we will come back in.
Right.
And then we will play. Let's start from the beginning.
Okay.
Here.
Let's start the song.
Let's
from
pretend
the
you've done it already, Mike. And then you go through your grocery list. And then Carla's going to hear that list. And then everything will be taken care of.
I have my list up here all the time because it's a simple list. It's a simple. I know what I require every day. I do not eat as much as you might think.
Hold on a sec. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So what's the segment called again?
What You Need.
Go ahead, right. Mike.
Okay. This is my shopping list today.
Yes, absolutely.
In order of priority, staples that you need to survive.
Yes.
Right? Number one, Smiling Irish Bastard beer.
Understood.
That's number one. Number two, al fresco buffalo style low fat sausages.
Ah, nice.
Let me see. Moving right along.
Hey.
Probably one more six-pack of Smiling Irish Bastard beer.
Okay.
So the first three items, two of which are beer, one is sausage.
That is correct.
All right.
Eggs.
Yes. Do you buy organic eggs?
Of course.
Do you buy brown eggs?
Do you buy organic eggs?
I do. Organic brown eggs.
Organic brown eggs are and everybody should. I think that's an area where I have read articles where you do well if you go with organic.
In Rockville, Maryland, they just passed an ordinance that you can keep chickens. You can have a chicken coop in your backyard.
Oh,
great!
There was, you know, the road that comes to my house. There was a chicken coop on the side of the road for sale on a trailer.
Mike.
A chicken coop. I have the land.
Too
up here,
bad it doesn't float because it could be a dinghy as well.
If you.
The wood.
The
reclaim
wood is very
wood,
buoyant.
Mike.
Very buoyant.
If you get someone to feed them, you can keep them up here during the winter as well.
Wow.
They winter very well, apparently. If they're in the coop, they do very well in the winter.
Do they still lay in the winter?
Hey, come on, Shock Jock, okay? You break here.
Yeah,
please.
Chicken
but
porn.
That way, they had a good story on the news where they had this guy in Rockville, regular backyard, had a chicken coop, and what he does is he will raise
what delicious chickens, Mr. McEwen. I don't know why I use that name. I don't know why I
use
Kurt's name.
Did he have his own chicken coop?
I have no idea. No, I have no idea why I said that. I just said that, and that's why he's laughing at it.
Wow.
It's just inside radio humor. That's it.
That's a great omelet.
I don't understand why I said that. You know, fantastic. Kenny King wouldn't have been funny.
No.
All right. So it's just when I was in Bethesda, Rockville, working at the radio station, that's what I was doing. But I was slightly intrigued with the idea of having my own chickens because I think the neighbor might have chickens.
Mike,
on
you hate
my
your
other
dogs.
Side.
You think you're going to love those chickens?
Well, the dogs might kill the chickens, though.
I'm glad. Oh. You know what I wrote on the show today? I talked about the legacy of my dogs. I don't know if it's a legacy, but this is how I think in terms of my dogs. There's every chance in the world that I will outlive Beluga. We all know that. Beluga's, you know, has a short, relatively short life expectancy for a dog.
His past due date has passed.
But to be fair, Mike, knowing...
Now, don't say that. That's going to get me in trouble.
The personality
of
Hando.
It's not past his due date, no.
Mike, knowing Beluga as we do, the light burned bright and fast.
Yeah.
Stop it. You're going to get me in trouble. Let me say
one of those.
It's all borrowed time now.
When I see pictures of Beluga now, when I see his eyes, those eyes they're praying for the next chapter.
Oh, my
right?
God. If you look closely in the eyes, you can actually see shovels.
Hold on.
The reflection.
Hold on. 13 years. It's 13 years, guys. Pug life expectancy. Yeah. We got Beluga
Pug life.
Great magazine. 2003.
Nice.
2003,
oh,
we
12.
Got Beluga.
Yeah, Big 12.
Big
dozen
12.
Cousin. Yeah. You know what you are. You're on the bottom of the hill.
Yeah.
Oh, but the thing is, when they go,
yeah, the roller coaster car is pulling
left.
Into the station.
I don't have either the Chihuahua or the Pug. Neither one of these creatures has any regard for me whatsoever, nor do I have real regard. Frankie at night, I will tell you, Frankie at night, when we're lying in bed and we're just about to turn the lights out, Frankie will come up. This is what he does. I mean this because everybody talks about how much I hate on the dogs.
Right.
Frankie comes up to me. He will crawl right up on my chest, and I will pet him, and we'll have a quiet little moment. It's not a long moment. It's maybe 1 or 2 minutes, but there will be that affection. But during the day...
Are you sure he's not just making sure you're breathing?
he will come to
me. Is he still alive?
And to me, that says a little bit like, hi, Dad, how are you? Just wanted to give you a little love. That's okay. But then it's negated by the fact that during the day, he will bark at me like I'm a burglar when I come to my own door, and he will run from me whenever he sees me walking
you
through
don't
the
get,
house.
You don't even get the good greeting once? Like, if you're gone for, say,
never
6 hours?
Never in my
hours.
Life have I have never gotten a greeting from either one of those dogs unless
really?
I've been standing in back of Carla. That's the entire, all their lives, for all the decade we've had Beluga, I have never gotten any kind of greeting
because
from that
I
animal.
Am definitely a second-place citizen with Linus when Carrie's around, because that's, you
but
know.
But do you get a greeting
but
from
when
your
I
dog?
Come home, yes, it's a big deal. He takes a lap,
nothing.
He brings me a toy. It's a whole thing.
I get nothing from those dogs.
Nothing.
They don't look at me. They don't involve themselves with me. They don't care about
Do
me.
You
That's
think
the way
that
I look at
if
it.
If you get this chicken coop, this, or we can call it a hen house, if you get a hen house, as they would refer to it in Deputy Dog,
right.
If you get a hen house.
Deputy Dog.
If you get a hen house, do you think the chickens are going to treat you with regard?
I don't. I'm not going to get them as pets. I'm going to get them as to serve the greater good.
Ultimately,
you know, the greater good of the family.
Will they, after they finish laying, Mike? Will you cook them up?
I would. If
yeah.
I mean, here's the thing with a chicken.
That's the point.
When you go to the hen house.
When you go to the hen house, here's the question: Do they have a? Do they, like human beings, do they have a time when they are no longer going to be laying eggs?
Fertile.
Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
And is that
a
the time? Is
womb?
That the, Pony, you yeah. said, uh-huh, like I mean, you kind of knew the answer to
all,
this.
All things have a point where they just no longer lay eggs, and then it's time to cook it up and eat it. Some chicken
show.
Breast.
So this is the dumbest show.
You're saying,
world.
Mike,
how do we get on
that
this
all
subject?
Creatures outlive their usefulness.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're looking at me.
Yeah. Cows stop producing milk, so I think he's right.
Yeah.
So this is...
That's when you fry up the pan.
Mm-hmm. Calm down, pal. I will tell you this. Do you have, when that time comes, is that normally the time when you are supposed to, if I was a farmer, dispatch... the chicken and
it's
use it
call.
as its final food source.
Because by that time it's probably so old that it's gotten all tough and stringy.
I dated all types of girls in my life, right? And one of them, thank you. One of them had actually grew up on a farm, and I remember going over.
She was the farmer's daughter.
I remember going over, and I said, "Hey, where's that fun goat that used to come and hang out all the time?" All right,
the fun goat,
yeah, because there was a goat that was like a dog, and it would come over, and you could pet it and hang out, and I'd bust through the back door sometimes, like, "Oh, hey, what's up?" So I,
the Kool-Aid goat,
the Kool-Aid goat. And I would say I hadn't been over in 2 months. I went over, said hello to the family, and the Kool-Aid goat had been killed and eaten. Bottom line. Yeah, that was.
Are you ready for
yeah.
the article?
Nah. Yes. No.
This is why on the fly, the internet is the greatest thing in the world. This
okay.
is when it's valuable. Okay.
Right.
This is the headline of the article. Don't get backyard chickens unless you are prepared to kill them.
Yeah. Chicken fingers.
Yeah. It's pretty simple, really. Hens lay eggs until they're about 3.
Okay.
And then they live for 5 to 7 years after that.
The useless years, Mike.
So if a chicken starts laying at 6 months old, this is a bit later than average, but it makes my numbers easy, and has essentially stopped laying by 4 years old and lives naturally to be 8, a backyard chicken keeper is looking at 3.5 years of egg production time and 4.5 years of pets without benefits time.
Well said.
That would be 351 pounds of feed going to a hen that isn't laying eggs. So what they're saying is if you are going to keep backyard chickens,
yeah.
you have to.
Yes.
That moment has to come.
You're going to have to ax yourself what you're going to do.
Yes.
You can do that, Mike. You probably have a good 3-year run in Maine and then just let them go.
Don't let them go. They don't live in the wild.
Why do they survive? Let nature take its course.
Yeah,
I don't think
a car.
That, chickens' faces don't have that kind of, you know, it's not like, oh, look at that cute little chicken. You know, they don't have that kind of face. They look like that.
I'm not sure that you could ever refer to a chicken as having a face. It's like saying a crab has a face. They have eyes and a beak. It's not really a face.
If you start chicken naming face. Them, though, then they become pets.
That's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you something. If I was doing it, I would be prepared to dispatch the chicken.
You might actually look forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's it. Well, that's why I'm writing a book about hate. We'll take a break and come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Meara Show. I'm broken down.
I need your loving. This week on the Mike O'Meara Bonus Show.
Mac, your personality is evolving. Would you be an Uber driver?
I would not.
Why?
For one, I am not a good directional driver.
You just gotta go wherever.
I don't know the streets.
A good directional driver. Does that mean when you get in your car, you might like go into the garage instead of out of it?
They wouldn't give you 5 stars. You get ranked out.
I love you, Mac. Yeah. I do. That's the great answer. That's what I love about the kid. He's so real. It's just like, I am not a good directional driver.
Mac, would you
God.
Ever consider working for Uber? I say, I don't know, Mike. I get the gas and the brake confused.
The Mike O'Meara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MearaShow.com.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show, everybody. This segment of our program brought to you by Vistaprint. We are talking about cards that are probably the best deal online. Vistaprint.com. 500 business cards, $9.99. Enter the promo code TMOS at checkout. That's $9.99 for 500 business cards. The best deal out there, and it's so easy to make great-looking cards. Pick from tons of industry-specific designs. You can add your info, and you're done. Or you can upload your own artwork or pictures. We've all made cards at Vistaprint. They always turn out great. I hand out my TMOS cards all the time. It is a classy move, and it's fun, and making them is a blast, too.
Yeah.
You want to go all out? Just be like Oscar Santana. Upgrade to their signature style. Add a fancy finish or even raised print. If you're not happy, by the way, Vistaprint will make it right for you. We've been talking about Vistaprint for a long time because really it is one of the single best offers you can find online. 500 business cards on sale for just $9.99. There has never been a better time to professionally promote your business. Just visit Vistaprint.com and use promo code TMOS to get this offer. That's Vistaprint.com, and remember to use our promo code, and that is TMOS, and we thank you very much for that, ladies and gentlemen. Hit the music, boys.
News.
Rebel Wilson and Late Late Show host James Corden have been voted the hottest plus-size celebrities.
Oh. Did they even look at my tape?
Rob, you just got to be higher up on the food chain if you're going to get into these competitions.
I suppose.
This was a poll done by a British company called Big Dude Clothing. I'd like to check that out. Boy, get them on the air. The rest of the top 10 women are Melissa McCarthy, Kelly Clarkson, Adele, Queen Latifah, Mariah Carey. She's probably not going to like that.
Yeah, she's not going to. You know, I don't think she fancies herself plus sized.
Well, she also fluctuates dramatically, unlike the aforementioned Queen Latifah. America Ferrera, Missy Elliott, Christina Aguilera. I don't think of her as being super fat.
She was a little bigger for a little while.
Oprah. That's the order that they go. The top 10 for guys is rounded out, pun intended.
I get it.
Jonah Hill.
Hot.
Jack Black, Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais has lost all his weight.
Yeah, he's skinny.
He shouldn't be plus size.
He's skinny.
Who is, I'm not sure, Irish journalist Eamon Holmes? Does anybody
Mike,
know this guy?
The plus size is relevant to Hollywood. If you think about what a regular normal waist guy is these days,
right?
Anybody that maybe 150 pounds or more is probably plus size to this list.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, Mary,
I don't know the journalist either, though.
That means in Hollywood, I would be a monster. anyway. Rob Kardashian, British comedian Peter Kay. It's stupid. It's a British list.
Right? Yeah, you know, it wasn't that long ago they were attacking us, Mike. I say we burned
Travel
the nation
Channel
down.
Host Adam Richman. He was a dick.
He lost a ton of weight, though.
Adam Richman did?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wish he'd lose all the weight.
Go away.
Kevin James and Rick Ross. That's the list for
Kevin James is a brilliant comic with a movie coming out tomorrow that everyone's going to love. Pixels.
pixels.
Jerry Seinfeld and David Letterman wrote blurbs praising Bill Cosby for the back cover of the 2014 book Cosby, His Life and Times, by Mark Whitaker. Of course, that was before the rape allegations came roaring back to haunt him. Now, both of them want the publisher, Simon & Schuster, to stop using their comments to promote the book online. A rep for both Jerry and Dave say, quote, "We were unaware that those quotes were still in circulation and are asking the publisher to refrain from future use." The publisher said it removed those endorsements as well as quotes by Billy Crystal, Mary Tyler Moore, and Wynton Marsalis from all online retailers. They're also going to let the book go out of print without issuing it in paperback. This is the slow, you know, people talk about he's not going to be prosecuted. He's a, this is the slow destruction of a career. And I think, yes, he's still initially selling out venues. That's going to go away because at a certain point, in my opinion, that's all this man, and rightly so, will be known for.
I'm shocked that Dave Letterman was at the front of that list because, I mean, before the allegations, he was a massive fan, a massive supporter, and always rolled out the carpet for him. I thought at best Dave would just remain silent, but it's obviously he's taken a very forward momentum on this.
Letterman's quote for the book said, "Bill Cosby has contributed more to comedy, television, education, and humanitarian causes than any person I know, actually any 100 people I know." That's the quote from Letterman that's going to be gone. Seinfeld's blurb says, quote, "I know certain religions forbid idol worship. If anyone ever told me I had to stop idolizing Bill Cosby, I would say sorry. But I'm out of this religion."
Hey, Jerry.
This is for Oscar. Oscar likes
Jerry.
Yes. Hello, Rob.
How do you feel about Quaaludes?
Quaaludes are bad. Thank you very much. Thank you. The impression du jour. Just in case you were wondering what the rules are on something like this, TMZ says this is a weird but a funny story to me.
Okay.
I know it's not fun to make Ill of the Dead, to talk Ill of the Dead. TMZ says that Demi Moore does not have to drain her pool just because a guy died in it.
Wow, it's good to know there's a policy in place.
There aren't there's not a policy. There are no rules governing things like that. When it comes to public pools, the law only requires that it be disinfected after a drowning or evidence of, quote, blood, excrement, or vomit.
Yeah, there's posted diarrhea rules at our pool.
And incidentally, I have always based my opinion on this subject by Caddyshack that they had to drain the pool when Bill Murray found the baby Ruth at the bottom of the pool and takes a bite out of it, causing Miss Judge Schmale's wife to pass out.
I wonder how Shatner handled it when he lost his wife, because that would probably
Horrible.
Why?
That's it, because I feel bad about that. See, that's
I do too. Pony, you really shouldn't have brought it up.
Sorry.
Thank you. As of yesterday, Demi's pool had not been drained. If it's my pool, I'm draining the thing.
Yeah, or you can just shock it with chlorine.
I think you might want to get out the Windex on this one.
Michael Corleone is face down at Oscar's pool. He comes out, or it's got to be Chad's pool. It's like, that was a great party. Well, just shock it. Just get some chlorine and shock it. We'll be all set to go. Very good. Yeah. Zohan died in the pool. Okay, just put a little extra chlorine. Thank you very much. Jurassic World passed the Avengers this week to become the third highest grossing movie of all time. It racked up more than $1.5 billion at the box office and hasn't even come out in Japan yet. It would need to make more than half
a great movie, Mike.
Thank you.
Say
it again. It would need to make more than $500 million more to pass Titanic for second place, and Avatar is still well out of reach at number one. And so we wish them.
Do you count that, though, when they don't adjust the dollars? Because when you look at the top money earners, they're all movies from the last 10 years, and it doesn't count the Star Warses and the Jaws with the adjusted box
office. It's compounded. They don't always adjust when those numbers come out.
Okay.
Right?
I like to see the adjusted dollar figures.
Yeah, but even if they – I could see that. But for every year that this comes out, they never adjust.
All right.
So everybody's at a disadvantage.
Understood.
Right?
There is a website – this is for our D.C. friends – called sexycongress.net that works works sort of like the old site, hotornot.com. It puts two members of Congress side by side and asks you which one you'd rather have sex with. We've been doing it for a million years with an old bit called Who Would You Do? Every single member of the Senate and House of Representatives gets a score based on how many votes they get, and they're all ranked by sexiness. Right now, the sexiest female, I do not have pictures, nor have I looked at them, so get ready to go, Rofo. The sexiest female is Tulsi, T-U-L-S-I, Gabbard. She is a Democratic congresswoman from Hawaii.
Well, Tulsi's a hot name.
It's Tulsi, T-U-L-S-I, Gabbard. Mm-hmm. She's from Hawaii. The sexiest male is Martin Heinrich.
Hello.
He is a Democratic senator from New Mexico. So let's look up Martin Heinrich and Tulsi Gabbard.
She is hot.
Very nice, right?
Very nice.
She does look Hawaiian.
Who's the guy?
Heinrich.
Heinrich.
Don't worry about him. Oh. The least sexy female is Virginia Fox.
Oh, named Virginia Fox.
She is a Republican congresswoman from North Carolina. What? Isn't that bad?
Let's see.
There's a picture of her when she's all cross-eyed. And
that's terrible. A Republican congresswoman from North Carolina, which is kind of sad because she's old and it looks like she took a particularly bad picture.
You know what's sad, Mike, is that Ms. Mikulski is no longer serving.
Let's say equal time so we are not accused of being sexist. Please. The least sexy male is Leonard Lance. Leonard Lance is a Republican congressman from New Jersey. He's also old, but he also looks like an evil skeleton.
He's an albino.
So I have to see. What's that?
He's an albino.
Yeah, he's a little creepy.
He's not an albino.
That's Rofo, you mallet head. And now a little something.
Broad brush.
27-year-old Travis Turner. I wonder if Travis Turner ever has been to the Whitehall Inn for the fabulous fruit fritters. Travis is from Indiana. He's from Indiana, but Indiana, Pennsylvania, not Indiana.
The Christmas tree farms are up there, Mike.
He called 911 on Sunday afternoon and said he was having chest pains, and that's a pretty believable story. Travis is 4'11" and weighs 380 pounds. Paramedics rushed out to his apartment, but when they got there, he told them he was fine. He actually just needed help fixing his air conditioner.
Oh.
They left to go to a real medical emergency at a Chinese restaurant nearby. Then the police headed over to Travis's place and arrested him for obstructing emergency services and disorderly conduct. They say he's made at least, are you ready for this?
Yeah.
60 fake 911 calls over the past 3 years. Travis wasn't mad at the cops for arresting him, but he was super pissed at the paramedics for not taking him to the Chinese restaurant. Thank you. Thank you very much. I'm here all week, everybody. Nice. We'll take a break, come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Barris Show as we're winding down to the weekend and your chance to win a Power Porsche for Power 105.
Cake and cookies.
Oh, it's so much more than cake and cookies. It's me, Rob Spiewak.
And me, Katie Von Herman.
We drink a lot.
Yeah.
But tune in this week and hear stories of the drunkest we ever got.
Yeah. I ate squirt cheese straight from a can.
I had flecks of gold in my beard. You'll hear all about it on the newest episode of Cake and Cookies.
It's the Rob and Katie Show. For more information, visit us at morebroadcasting.com.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy that show, you damn drunks.
Yeah.
All right, welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. It is now available. It is Open Mic, the audiobook. I want to thank everybody that's purchased it so far. It's a great read, great for the summer, and great to listen to on a long car trip. You're going to love it. It's fantastic. Yes, Rob Spiewak.
I want to play a clip. This is one that Oscar and I were laughing at yesterday because we did so much of the recording with all of us in the room. And we would ad-lib our updates because the book is a year old and we wanted to bring it up to date. Sometimes the ad-libs caught us by surprise.
Yes.
I want you to check out this moment from Open Mic. Steve Bridges called me up during our downtime. He asked me, "So what do you want to do now?" "I'd like to play records." And that's how my music show started on KCJJ. It was a real lifesaver for me. Gave me some purpose, something to do. It's no longer on the air. It was a particular favorite moment of mine.
That's the update. Thank you, Rob.
Yes.
Anyway, the audiobook is Mike, Rob, Oscar in their own words, the entire book, and then some here, the whole story, the inside scoop. Months of the making, loaded with exclusive extras. It's TMOS in a dynamic new way, unlike ever before. Great in the car, at home, on the beach, all summer long. Download the fun, because fun's the best thing to have. It's only $6.99, and it's now available. Download it instantly on iTunes. Thank you so much for making us number one in the spoken word category. Or you can also get it at MikeOmaraShow.com. Open Mike the audiobook. You're going to love what you hear, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoy doing it. Let's open up the audio vault for today, Thursday, July 23, 2015. Rob Spiewak.
Let's focus on cinema for a second, Mike. Last night, America took a break from following Donald Trump's campaign to watch Sharknado 3, Oh Hell No. And if you haven't already seen it, this is a spoiler alert. I'm going to tell you how it ends. A piece of the space shuttle wreckage is headed towards the Earth, and it's going to hit Tara Reid. Maybe. Maybe. But they want you to vote.
Now's your chance to be part of Sharknado history. You decide if April lives or April dies by tweeting your choice now or by going to sharknado.sci-fi.com to vote. Her fate will be revealed in Sharknado 4 because we're not done yet. Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no.
So they're turning these things out.
Let me just finish this up.
Yeah. What you got there?
He's voting. Jessica,
I wanted to get my vote in. She's going to die.
She's going to die? Yeah. Thank you. My father said to me last night, he said, make sure you have your DVR set. I said, I think the proper setting is on fire. Let's set our DVRs on fire because now there's at least one more coming. But no one hated Sharknado as much as the guy that reviews movies named Movie Bob. Okay. He has a website where he reviews movies. He did not care for the movie Pixels. And I'd like to play you just two small pieces of his review. Mike, it's almost Tom Shalesian in its vitriol. I think you'll enjoy this.
Fantastic.
I have no words. I just don't, guys. I saw Pixels mere hours ago as of this writing, and I find myself incapable of putting what I'm feeling into words. Such is the magnitude of the disaster I've witnessed. Pixels is an unmitigated piece of god-awful fucking dog. Its existence feels alternately like a poison or a genital infection. It is cinematic strychnine, celluloid chlamydia. I shouldn't even be here right now. This isn't my jurisdiction. I'm a film critic. Pixels isn't a movie. It's a motherfucking active crime scene, and the crime is cultural vandalism. What we're faced with here is not simply the almost certainly worst major Hollywood movie that's going to come out this goddamn year, and easily the worst Adam Sandler movie where he's not doing a stupid fucking voice affectation, but the vomit-encrusted nadir of the unholy assembly line transmutation of Generation X nostalgia into the quote-unquote geek corporate-branded marketing identity. I didn't merely hate this movie, I wanted to beat it slowly to death with a wiffle ball bat, so it'd take fucking longer. I was bored within 2 minutes, angry after five, and by the time all 100 had run out, I was just sad and numb, which has now simmered into a fine, pure, white-hot, pant-ing rage.
We'll get to his wind-up in a second.
Hey, get that guy on the show.
Yes, Rafa.
Let's chat with him. That's
Annie is in Pixels.
She is.
She is.
Wow.
You know, Rafa, you're a cruel guy. You know that?
Hey.
After all that, you do that tip-in for our friend Annie.
Way to make friends.
Yeah. You can do that when you're 10.
So is this Sandler in Spade?
Yeah, and I do
Kevin James.
I do believe that Kevin James plays the president. And believe it or not, Peter Dinklage is in the movie.
Oh, God. Okay.
Yeah, he's got a small part.
We have to see what the movie's all about.
This just in, Kaz took a vacation, but it's Thursday and he's back at the crab stand.
Hey, folks, it's Kaz at the crab stand. Look, had a day off, came down to the ocean to relax a little bit. If you're looking for the freshest live local Maryland seafood, I'm your guy. I'm your guy. If you're looking for the best radio show out there,
again?
It's called the Mike O'Mara Show, folks.
You did it again?
Go check them out. Look, we'll be back Thursday. I'll have crabs. I'll have soft crabs. I'll have clams, mussels. I'll have everything. Folks, I'll see you Thursday. And remember, I'm your guy. Have a great week.
Did he say, remember Rob, I'm
yeah.
your guy?
Yeah, he likes that's it. Awesome. It's awesome.
And Rob is a dirty little whore, so that'll yeah, be every
said,
week if the guy
does
that.
He said my
name. That. Yes, that's it. So, absolutely.
Said my name.
Who has IKEA furniture and has not screwed it to the wall so it's going to fall down and kill your children? Have you seen this? That they have chest of drawers that when you pull the top drawers out, it becomes really unstable, and kids are in danger. Oh. So you need to anchor your IKEA furniture, particularly the taller stuff, to the wall. IKEA has issued a press release, and they had a press conference. So this is there's nothing to laugh at. Okay. Make sure you keep the kids safe.
I won't.
It's very hard to bear the chicky cookie. It's very hard to egg to ship. It's very hard. It's very egg.
Okay, so make sure you do that. You know, let's go back to Movie Bob on tomorrow's show, because I want to close with this. When you have the Ku Klux Klan marching through your neighborhood, Mike, and they're doing a hate-filled march in Columbia, South Carolina
I'm so glad you have this. We'll talk about this on tomorrow's show.
To preserve the flag, there's only one real good way to combat them, and that's to follow the march with a sousaphone.
Listen to this. Brilliant.
It
brilliant.
Really is.
Brilliant.
And this is what stupid looks like.
Okay, stop it right there.
Oh, I know.
I watched this video early today. Fantastic. Just the tuba. You always have to get the idiot that has to say, this is, no, you're stupid because you're ruining the moment, which really was pure because they're playing this silly music as they're walking along. But you have to flap your gums because you're stupid. And I hate it when people do that on a video. I really do. This guy has got a tuba. You got the guys coming down the middle of the street with the Confederate flags, and he's going, doop de doop de doop. It was hysterical.
You know what, Mike? You should devote a chapter to her in the book.
Yes.
Hating, because I hate her.
That's your magic audio vault. Have a great Thursday, everybody.
That's it. Another Mike O'Mara Show is come and gone. Be sure to join us again for more fun and more thrills at MikeO'MaraShow.com. If you want to correspond with the Mike O'Mara Show with a letter or package, send it to TMOS, Box 2796, Leesburg, Virginia, 20177. To get your message or birthday request into the Wednesday mailbag, email Rob with two Bs at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Our audiobook is out there right now. You can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Google Play. You can get it on Amazon. And you can get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. Make sure you get the open mic book, the audio book. It is available for you now. And thank you to the people that have already purchased it. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara inviting you to join us again for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Wait, don't go. I need to tell you that MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon is perfect for all your online shopping needs. Shop the best way. Shop Amazon. And please go through our website, always open at MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.